Hello, beloved, and welcome to this Bible study on spiritual warfare of the believer. We are busy with part 5 of this Bible study series specifically. What a privilege for us to be able to look at this topic, because if there's one thing that is for certain, is that all of us, every single person who's a believer, are all involved in this spiritual battle, this wrestling that we are in with regards to our spiritual walk with the Lord and this world and the things of this world and our spiritual lives and our conduct and everything. There's this battle that rages in the heavenlies, and we are all involved in this, whether we like it or not. And whether we want to be involved or not, we are involved in it. But before we continue, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you in Jesus' precious name. And thank you so much, Father, that we can learn from your word, and that your word is so clear, especially with regards to spiritual warfare and how we are supposed to look at this battle that we are in. I pray, Father, will you please open up our hearts to receive the truth of your word, and Father, our minds to understand the truth of your word. And I pray that you will enable me as your servant to teach the truth of your word. This I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay, I would like you to look at Ephesians chapter 6. I told you last week that we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 6 because it's one of those passages of scripture that is used with regards to spiritual warfare. So let's lay some foundation today, and then, God willing, next week we'll continue specifically looking at the armor that we have, because it's important for us to understand what this armor actually is. But the Apostle Paul speaks to the Ephesian believers, and he says to them in verse 10 of Ephesians 6, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Pardon me. Verse 11. Pardon me. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Therefore, why? Because we know that we are involved in this spiritual battle, nah? Because we're involved in this spiritual battle, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So the principle here is for us as believers to stand strong. Now, beloved, when we go back quickly, last week we looked at who or what is our spiritual warfare directed at, and we saw that our spiritual battle is definitely directed at the devil. That's one of the, entities, if I may use that word, at whom our spiritual warfare is directed. It's the devil. Now, Paul told the Corinthian believers that we're not ignorant of Satan's devices, because Satan uses unforgiveness. He uses division in the church to break up the church. He brings divisive people. He sends them to the church to bring division within the church. He targets the minds of believers. And he does it through deception and lies and all kinds of ways that he uses. Now, the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthian believers that we're not ignorant of his devices. We understand how Satan works. And we don't want you to fall into the trap of the devil. We don't want you to be caught up by the lies and the deception of the evil one. We want you to understand what this spiritual battle is all about. Now, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 20, the Apostle Paul tells the Ephesian believers that they should have the armor of God on, so that they will be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, the word translated "wiles" in the Greek, or is the Greek word "methodeia," sounds very much like method, isn't it? Well, the word "methodeia" basically means to work by method. Okay, it refers to a technical procedure that is used in handling a subject. It speaks about the craft of doing something. Methodeia. The devil has a methodeia. He has a method of doing what he's doing. And when it comes to spiritual warfare, there is definitely a method that Satan uses. And he's been using it since the fall. When he tempted Adam and Eve to fall into sin, he's continually using exactly the same method, and it's still working even today. He changes the way, you know, the content of it, he changes, but the method stays exactly the same. All right, so when Paul writes to the Ephesians in Ephesians 6 verse 11, he says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." The Apostle Paul was basically saying that the purpose of the armor of God is for the believer to be able to stand firm. Now, John Hill, or Gill, in his commentary on Ephesians, specifically chapter 6, he says the following, and I quote, speaking about the armor of God, nah, that is to be put on. He says, "It is to be put on in order to stand against him, oppose him, and fight, and get the victory over him." Now, in a sense, that is so true. In our own lives, we need to get the victory over these principalities and powers in wicked places, the evil spirits and that type of thing. We need to get victory, but in Christ, there is already victory. Christ has already won the victory. The war has been won. There are still these individual battles that we're going to fight in our own lives. But then John Gill continues and he says, and I quote, "Believers not only stand their ground in the strength of Christ, and by the use of their armor confound his schemes, and baffle all his art and strategies, but are more than conquerors through Christ that has loved them." Oh, it's so beautiful. You see, beloved, the devil has different methods to battle the believer. Different methods to undermine God's work. Methods to basically go against the people of God. The most important thing that we need to know about the devil's method is this: that the entities that is used by the devil are invisible. Right, there are invisible entities that Satan has to his disposal to basically fight this war that he is involved in, to fight it on his behalf. And these entities are basically the fallen angels. Remember when Satan, because of rebellion, he wanted to be like the Most High God, and God kicked him out of heaven. When Satan was kicked out of heaven, a third of the angels were cast out of heaven with him. And these fallen angels are basically in the kingdom of Satan. And they are the ones that is used by Satan in his hierarchy, if we may call it that, to basically fight his battles on his behalf. Obviously on their own behalf as well, because they're fallen angels. They no longer want to do what God wants them to do. They want to do their own thing. Okay, but because they know the time is few, and because they know what the end is going to be, because God clearly spoke about it, they have a little time to get out there and to influence as many people as they can, and to deceive them and to defeat them in this spiritual battle that people are involved in. So, beloved, the devil has different methods to battle the believer. But the most important thing that we need to know about the devil's methods is this: that these entities work in the invisible. Okay, they work where it cannot be seen. So it's very hard for us to be able to fight things that we cannot see. Okay, and that's why I believe the scripture tells us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. When it comes to people, the pulling down of lies that has been built up in their lives, But when it comes to the spiritual battle with regards to the hierarchy that Paul is actually giving the Ephesian believers here, then we see that this hierarchy, these fallen angels, these entities that work in the invisible, they have a method of working that is, they still work with lies, they still work with deceit, but it's not on an individual basis. And it is also on an individual basis, but it's not only on an individual basis. All right. Now, this is how the Apostle Paul describes them. He says in verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 6, he says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." So we're not fighting people. We're not fighting the atheists who deny that God exists and who wants nothing to do with God. That's not our battle. Our battle is against the strongholds that are built up in their minds, the lies that has been built up in their lives. Our battle is against the deception that they are in. Our battle is against the spiritual forces that are behind them, that are actually pumping them full of false information, deceiving them more and more and more, to the point where they believe all the lies and they start living in those lies. But our wrestling, our spiritual battle is still not against that person. I don't have a quarrel with an atheist. I don't have a quarrel with a Satanist. I don't have a quarrel with a traditional African healer, for example, that are doing the healing and the divination and all the things they're doing through the power of demonic forces, fallen spirits. My battle is not against that person. That person is just what I say, it's a person. And that person has been influenced by Satan. Satan has used his deceptive methods on that person and got that person into his power, under his control. Okay? And once that person is under Satan's control, then Satan can start moving those people into positions where they will start having influence, let's say, for example, on local government. And those people will then be moved up into provincial government. Eventually, they end up in national government where they can have major influences on people. But where did it start? It started right there on grassroots level where where Satan and the fallen angels deceive this person to open up to lies and to receive lies, have strongholds built up in their hearts and minds so that they will not believe the truth and be set free. Right now, he says, we do not wrestle. This is what Paul says to the Ephesians. He says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against, the first one he uses there is principalities. And basically, this refers to fallen angels. Most probably, this refers to the ranks and the orders, which they sustained before the fall, because there are many, many angels, even in heaven with God, and they're different in rank. They're different in authority. Okay, so the angel or the angelic world is also made up the same way. There are different ranks among these fallen angels, and most probably they kept their rank that they had in heaven when they were still in God's presence. When God kicked them out, they just perverted those ranks. But they're still in the same ranks, because I believe, that's what I think, is that the different fallen angels have different authority and different powers, different abilities. All right, and in accordance to their abilities, they would have a specific rank. So these principalities, these demonic beings still has a lot of authority, still has a lot of power. Okay? They can do a lot of harm. They can do a lot of things if they are given any space. All right, so principalities refers to these fallen angels. Most probably it refers to the ranks or the orders that they sustained before they fell out of heaven. And the word principalities basically refers to principal rulers, or what they call chieftains, as Albert Barnes in his commentary tells us. He calls them that. Now, when Daniel prayed for his people, just to give you an example of these principalities. When Daniel prayed for his people, for Israel, an angel came to him. And remember, if you go to Daniel chapter 10, verse 13, you will read the following. It says, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia." Okay, so what we find here is we have Daniel. Or the passage tells us that Satan engages in heavenly warfare to influence generations and nations against God and against his people. And this happened while Daniel was in Persia. Now, the angel that came to Daniel after he prayed said the following to him. In verse 20 we read, do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, indeed, the prince of Greece will come." So what the angel actually tells Daniel is that there is an evil fallen angel would come to contest for the kingdom of Greece. There's this fallen angel that was contesting for the kingdom over Persia, but there's going to come a prince, or this fallen angel, this one high up in hierarchy, that's going to come and contest for the kingdom of Greece. You see, it's possible that these princes could be the same entities as the principalities that Paul speaks about in Ephesians chapter 6. I think there's a similarity there. Now the question is, this is happening, right? So the question is, what was Daniel's role in this battle that was taking place in the heavenlies? What was his role? What did Daniel do? There was this battle that took place over Persia and over Greece. What was Daniel's role that he played in this? Now, beloved, in Daniel chapter 10, verse 2, we read that Daniel was mourning for 3 weeks. That's 21 days. He didn't eat. The text tells us he didn't eat any pleasant food. He didn't want to take any meat. He didn't want to take any wine. He didn't anoint himself for 3 weeks. And the text, by the way, doesn't tell us why Daniel was actually mourning. So it could be that it had something to do with the trouble that Israel was in with regards to returning to the land of Israel. And what was happening is that most probably Daniel was troubled over his people. You see, it was on the 21st day of the time that he was praying and partially fasting and mourning, crying out to God, that this angel appeared to him. You see, in effect, Daniel had nothing to do with the spiritual battle that was occurring in the heavenlies, that was occurring in the unseen. The battle in the unseen was a battle over control of the nation of Persia. Later, this battle would shift to Greece. And you would see as the powers, the different world powers come into existence, there's most probably this war that takes place in the heavenlies as these entities try to take over a specific country, but God doesn't allow them to do that. And the way that God does it is through the angels. So when we look at Daniel and his input into this spiritual battle that was raging in the heavenlies, Daniel had no input whatsoever. Well, direct input, let's call it like that, something like that. He obviously was busy praying and partially fasting and mourning, while at that same time the angel of the Lord was fighting the battle. You know, and it was with the help of Michael. He calls him one of the chief princes. It basically sounds as if he was one of the chief princes in heaven, or the chief angels in heaven. So Paul says, when we get back to Ephesians chapter 6, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. But when we look at Daniel, it wasn't Daniel who did any of the wrestling directly, you know, with this prince of Persia and the prince of Greece. And the question is, why would Paul say that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities? And here in Daniel, we see that Daniel didn't really have anything to do with this battle, this fight. Beloved, we need to understand that our weapons in this battle are spiritual weapons. They're not physical weapons. Now, the word wrestling in Ephesians chapter 6 refers to hand-on-hand combat. Wrestling features trickery and deception. Now, what happened in Daniel's time is that Daniel was deeply concerned about the people of Israel. He then physically spent time in prayer. And I mean, he must have poured out his heart before the Lord. He must have begged God to do something for Israel, to restore the land to Israel. I mean, we see that Daniel partially fasted. He withheld meat and wine from himself for 21 days. He never used any incense or whatever on himself. Daniel poured out himself through intercession unto the Lord for 21 days. So Daniel was focused on God and on God's people. And in a sense, we can say that God caused the angel to fight the main leader of the fallen angels, who was influencing the Persian leaders at that specific stage to prevent the people of Israel to return to the land of Israel. So there was this spiritual battle that was going on, and this prince of Persia, the spiritual entity, was influencing through deceit or whatever way, was influencing the leadership of Persia to be a stumbling block for Israel to return to the land of Israel and to restore the land to Israel, of Israel. So that was actually happening. You see, and while Daniel was focused on God and Israel, God was actually winning the battle over the spiritual leader of Persia. And as he was winning the battle over the spiritual leader of Persia, this spiritual influencer lost his power, his deception, and so on over the people in Persia and the leadership in Persia. And that would ultimately lead to the children of Israel returning to the land of Israel. I hope it makes sense. You see, beloved, when we pray and when we fast and when we mourn over the church, if we focus on something that is important, our focus is on God, then God will do the spiritual fighting for us. That's not when we are deceived, no? And when we are under attack ourselves, because that also happens. But this is talking about nations. This is talking about principalities. We're talking about huge, huge spiritual beings. Very powerful human spiritual beings. And God doesn't want us to fight those beings. I remember years ago, we were fighting the prince over South Africa and over Africa and all kinds of things like that. And whoa, did we get beat up? Spiritually speaking, yo, we got beat up. Because it's not a place for us to be. It's God that intervenes. It's God that does something. It's important, beloved, that we need to pray and fast and focus on God and bring our petitions to Him. Yes, obviously pray about that issue that we are busy with. We don't know what God is going to be doing in behind the scenes, what God is going to call His angels to do. And I mean, in this case with Daniel, for example, the angel couldn't break through, couldn't get the victory. So Michael went and assisted him in battle. Yeah. Beloved, I pray really that the Lord will help us to understand how it works through prayer and fasting and interceding. I mean, we don't battle people. They are being influenced by spirit beings. But be aware. Continue to pray, fast, speak God's word, tell the truth, expose the lies. We do what we do here in the physical. And at the end, God is the one whose will be done God is the one who will win the battle, especially when it comes to principalities, because they are enormously powerful beings. Don't get involved in that battle. Pour out your heart to the Lord. Continue to focus on Him. And God will bring the victory, because Christ was victorious completely. He conquered Satan. He conquered death. He conquered all the demonic forces in the heavenly places. Focus on Christ. Focus on the Word. Focus on doing God's will. Focus on praying and fasting and doing what's necessary with regards to that. All right. That's a mouthful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come to you and learn something about this battle that we're involved in. And wow, is it a battle. And Father, Daniel experienced it in, even though he was praying, even though he was busy in his, how can I say, fasting, partially fasting, and really praying for the people. He experienced it because he could feel it in his body. And I pray, Father, as we get involved, or as we are involved, as we get involved in the spiritual battle, please, Father, be our victory. Give us victory. Be our strength, because you are our strength. Give me the strength, Father, please, to continue to minister the truth of your word to your people, and enable each person listening to this message that are born again. Father, I pray, please, will you undertake in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you very much for listening. May the Lord bless you, keep you. May His face shine upon you and give you His peace. God willing, until next time. Bye-bye.